Father, I thank you for the Word of God that is spirit and life to us. It speaks into our lives as a living word with the power to change us. And Father, I pray this morning that we would have a hearing ear, Lord, that our hearts would be open and receptive to the Word of God, that we might be forever changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been talking about how to have power in our lives as a Christian. Power just to live a Christian life. It takes more than rules and regulations and religion. It takes the power of Christ. That's really the only way that you can be all God wants you to be and do all that He wants you to do. It is by His power at work in your life. As your prayer life goes, so goes your Christian life. Leonard Ravenhill writes in his book, Why Revival Tarries, no man is greater than his prayer life. If we're not praying, we're playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, few prayers. Man-singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, few intercessors. Many writers, few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere. Powerful words. Remember, it was written in his book, Why Revival Tarries. Church, we need prayer. Every single one of us personally, we need a prayer life. As your prayer life goes, so goes your Christian life. But we also need prayer as a people, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the real key, church. It's prayer. Prayer is what brings the power of God. You know, we talked about the power in believing, because it is when you have faith that that power is released. But believing people are praying people. Now, sometimes praying people aren't necessarily believing people, because there certainly are people who pray just out of sheer ritual and nothing more. It is just some kind of a religious activity that makes them feel better about themselves, and they don't really believe that God will answer their prayer. But believing people are always praying people, because when you really believe, then you ask. Then you're not hesitant to step out and ask God and pray, and in so doing, believe. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing, to never stop, be praying all the time. It's our lifeline to God. It is the heartbeat of the Christian life. Without prayer, we are without power. R.A. Torrey said, we're too busy to pray, and so we're too busy to have power. If we lack prayer, we lack power. Listen, this is for every one of us here this morning. If you lack prayer in your life, I can tell you, you lack power. If you lack power in your life, you lack prayer. Sure, it's quiet in here. I'm telling you. I hope that means it's just sinking in real good. It needs to, church. If we lack power, we lack prayer. Prayer changes things, because the all-powerful has chosen to respond to prayer that's prayed in faith. He is sovereign God. He can do as He pleases. And yet He has chosen to work this way. Even though He has all power, He waits until somebody prays. He responds to prayer prayed in faith. Now, the reason that people don't pray more is not because they're too busy. No, we think that sometimes and maybe even are bold enough to say such a thing. But the truth is that when people don't pray, it's not because they're too busy. It's because they don't really believe. Because if we believe, we will pray. People don't make time for prayer because they don't believe it's going to make a difference. And they say, well, I'm so busy. Listen, if you believe that when you pray, that God's power will move and work on your behalf, then the busier you get, the more you know you need to pray. Because you can't do it all on your own. You need God's help. If we believe that prayer will bring God's power into our lives and into our world, then we're going to pray. And we talked about receiving power. Acts 1 and 8, Jesus said that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But you know that they were praying when it came. In Acts 1 and 14, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And then on the day of Pentecost, that power was poured out on them. You see, the Holy Spirit comes when people ask. That power comes upon them when people ask. Jesus said it in Luke 11 and 13. He said that the Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit not to everybody. He gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. You see, it's when we ask in prayer that that power comes in our life. And I submit to you today, it is not a one-time occurrence, a one-time event that we need the Holy Spirit to come upon us. No, we need the power of the Holy Spirit every day in our life. Just a few verses before that, in Luke 11 and 9, he said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. He tells us, ask and it will be given to you. And people will say, oh, but I asked and nothing happened. I didn't receive anything. Listen, he didn't say for you to offer some little prayer at just a one-time event. In fact, that verb there, ask, is not a punctiliar verb, but a linear verb. It means to ask, to keep asking. Too often we just give up. I'm telling you, Jesus' word is true. And when he says, ask and you shall receive, there's a spiritual truth there. And we're in great error. What did we say last week? People are in error when they don't know the scriptures or the power of God. You see, we need to know. We're in error when we think, well, I asked and I didn't receive. What's the key to receiving? Believe you receive. Mark 11, 24. What things soever you desire when you pray and believe that you receive, you shall have them. You say, well, I asked and I didn't receive. He said, ask and believe you receive. You see, you ask and you shall receive. There's a great power in prayer. If we'll just keep praying and keep praying, that power is available. We talked about how that there's great power in the Word of God, that it itself declares it is alive and powerful. Well, when you pray the Word of God, there is tremendous power. One of the reasons that it's so powerful to pray the Word of God is because it is prayers prayed in faith that are powerful, that bring God's power. And when you pray the Word of God, you are praying in faith because you are standing on what God has said. When you appropriate the promises of God in your prayer life, that's very powerful because you can pray with confidence and with faith. That, you know, the Word of God shows us the will of God. And the promises of God are His will for you. All of the promises of God are yea and amen. The amen is spoken by us. We just get in agreement with the Word of God. We say amen to the Word of God. You see, you pray those promises of the Word of God. That's a powerful prayer because you pray with confidence. 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. You see, sometimes we just pray silly, foolish prayers, and maybe we don't even halfway expect God to answer those prayers, and most often He doesn't. But when we pray according to the Word of God, we know we're asking according to His will. We know that He hears us, and we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. Prayer is how we ask Him for power. Prayer is how we ask Him for His help. Praying in faith is what brings the power of God into our lives personally and into our world. James 5:16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It avails much. It's very powerful. The Amplified says, the earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Now, a lot of people get hung up on that righteous man. If you're talking about self-righteousness, that leaves all of us out. In fact, it leaves everybody out. It even leaves Elijah out, who it's talking about here. Because there is none righteous, the Bible says. No, not one. Our righteousness is by faith. Even Abraham was righteous by faith. He believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. If you think that you have to be perfect or that anybody has to be righteous in themselves for their prayer to be answered, then we won't ever have any answered prayers. No, our righteousness is of Him, declares the Lord. Amen. That's Isaiah 54:17. You know, some people think that all that is New Testament. No, it's not. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. And when we come to God in prayer, we're not coming in a self-righteousness like some Pharisee. We're coming as those that have been washed in the blood of Jesus. That our righteousness is by faith. And it is because of what Jesus has done that we can stand before our Heavenly Father, that we can approach the throne of grace. And we can pray and believe and expect that He'll move because we pray. See, Elijah was a man with weaknesses just like we are, with passions just like ours. James 5:17-18 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Yeah, just like yours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Why did this happen? Listen, Elijah was not playing with the weather. Oh, watch what I can do, y'all. See, a lot of people want to play silly games with God. That's not what was going on here. No, there was a great need for revival in the land. And isn't it amazing? If you want to get somebody's attention, you just mess with their pocketbook. You look at the things that have happened in our economy in the last couple of years, and I'm not saying that any of it is of God. What I am saying, though, is it sure did get a lot of people's attention. A lot of people realize they had some messed up priorities and some misplaced trust. Gets people's attention. Well, when it didn't rain for 3.5 years, I'm telling you, it got people's attention. And it turned the people back towards the Lord. They realized they were missing it. But Elijah's prayer was very, very powerful because it was a part of bringing revival. And church, our prayer is just as powerful if we will pray and believe. It is the most powerful thing that we ever do. Luke 18 and 1, the Bible tells us that he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. First of all, we need to take note of this. Jesus said that we should always pray. If we're not always praying, we're not obeying the Lord. He said we should always pray. And never give up. And as you read the story that he told in Luke chapter 18 there, about this widow who was so persistent. The point of the story is that we don't give up. You may not see all of your prayers answered today, or tomorrow, or next week, or next month, or next year. If the Lord tarries, some of you that are praying for some children and grandchildren, you may not see them come to the Lord or really serve God until you're one day looking down from heaven. But don't think that your prayers are in vain. Amen. We have to pray. Jesus said, pray and never give up. Amen. And Jesus doesn't tell us to do things that are fruitless and futile. Jesus isn't telling you to pray just out of some religious duty. He tells us to pray because prayer matters. Prayer's what makes the difference. You see, it is a lie. It is a deception of the devil to get people to not believe and therefore not pray in faith. It is when we pray in faith that the power of God comes. So important in our life and in this world that we pray. He is sovereign God, Lord of all creation, and yet he waits for somebody to pray before he moves. Jesus himself taught us to pray this way: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want the will of God. We want the reign and rule of God, the power of God in this world. It is when we pray that that power is released in our world. It's prayer, praying in faith, that brings God's power into our lives, in our situation, into our family, in our home. It's praying in faith that brings the power of God into the workplace, into the school, that brings the power of God into the church and into our ministry and reaching out to other people. All around us every day, there's all kinds of needs and opportunities. You know what? Every one of those, we need to see that as an opportunity to pray, an opportunity to see God move and work in somebody's lives. As always, Jesus is our example in prayer. Jesus, the Word made flesh. God in the flesh. Jesus. And yet he prayed. Because as he walked this earth, he walked this earth as a man. The Bible speaks many times of Jesus praying. On one occasion, he prayed all night. The next day, he chose the 12 disciples. We should pray before we make any decision. Not just some little flippant prayer that we threw out. On this occasion, Jesus prayed all night. Sometimes we need to really pray and seek God before we make a decision that affects our family, our church, our own personal life, the course of our life. We need to seek God in earnest prayer. We need to pray for God's direction, for His guidance in our lives. Jesus did. Listen, when the needs of the people were great and they clamored for him, there were times when Jesus pulled away to a solitary place to pray. And when we think that we can't take time for prayer, or we have so many responsibilities that if we were to pull away from all of that, that we would just drop the ball. No, those are the times most of all that we need to get along with God, as we can't do it on our own. We need His help. He prayed when He fought the battle of the ages in the Garden of Gethsemane. Our victory was won on the cross. He finished it on the cross. But I'm telling you, the battle took place in the garden when He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. There was a great battle that was taking place in His soul. And He said, "Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but Your will be done." You see, it's in prayer that we surrender our will to the will of God. Oh, if every day we would start our day that way. "Lord, here's my life, a living sacrifice. Not what I want today, not my plans and my dreams, but Yours, Lord." You surrender your will to Him in prayer to fulfill His plan and purpose in your life. Jesus fought that battle in the garden. But you know what? We need to make that a daily part of our lives, that we surrender our will to Him and allow His will to be done in us instead of just pursuing our own selfish will. In Matthew 26, we're speaking about the Garden of Gethsemane there. In verse 41 and 42, it says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, Thy will be done." The Lord tells the disciples, pray so that you don't enter into temptation. All of us face temptations of all kinds every day. All of us face the opportunity to fail, the opportunity to not pursue and accomplish and fulfill the will and purpose of God in our life. All of us face temptation. How can you be ready for that? He said, pray. Here's how you can be ready for the day of testing. Here's how you can be ready for when you are tempted. You prayed up and you're ready. He said, pray so that you won't enter into temptation. I'm telling you, child of God, if you want to overcome, you want to live a victorious Christian life, you want to walk in all that God has for you, you're going to have to pray. Listen, if you're going to drive in Dallas-Fort Worth traffic and you're going to keep a Christian attitude and keep Christian love and love your neighbors yourself, come on, you're going to love your, not just in traffic, anytime, you're going to love your enemies, you better pray. Because I'm telling you, there's going to be a day of temptation when you're tempted not to. How are you ever going to bless those who curse you? How are you ever going to do good to those who mistreat you? It takes the power of Jesus Christ. And listen, we need to pray every day to rely upon Him and depend upon Him. Pray so that you don't enter into temptation. Jesus taught us to pray that in what we call the Lord's Prayer. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We have to pray. People wonder why they struggle and fail and fall, and yet they don't pray. We can't do it on our own. It takes God's power, and that power is available to us when we pray. It's in prayer that we confess to Him our weakness, our inadequacies, our inability, our need of His help. There is another reason why people don't pray. The first and foremost, I told you, is because they don't truly believe that it will matter. The second reason that sometimes people don't pray is because they don't think they need God's help. They think that they can handle it on their own. Or certain areas of their life they don't pray about because they think, "Well, I got this. I'm strong here." You need to pray so that you can be the Christian that you've been called to be. So that you can live a Christ-like life. You can't do it without prayer. You need to pray so that you can be a good father. You need to pray so you can be a good husband, a good wife or mother. You need to pray so that you can be a good witness for the Lord at your school. You need to pray. We need to admit our need of Him, our inadequacy, our weakness without Him. Sometimes we're like the guy sliding off the hot tin roof, trying to get a grip, and he just keeps sliding, and he begins to cry out to God and say, "Lord, help me, help me." And his belt gets caught on a nail and stops him, and he says, "Never mind, Lord, I got this." And there's a lot of people that are just like that. They pray when things are going desperately wrong, but the rest of the time, "I don't need you, God. I'll give you a call when I need you again." Church, I'm telling you, that kind of crisis prayer won't ever get it. We need to be prayed up. We need to be ready. If we're going to live the life that God has for us, prayer is the heartbeat of that life. It is not an option. It's not just a habit or a ritual. It is more than that. It is our lifeline to God. I tell you, even in the areas where we think we're strong, we need to pray and trust God and realize that we need His help. I remember years ago, I felt like the Lord just spoke to me in my heart about prayer. And it was this, that a day without prayer is an arrogant act. And you know, the Lord got my attention that day. I don't know how He speaks to you, but sometimes it's pretty straight with me. That to go a day without prayer is to think that I don't need Him in my life. Church, prayer is how we acknowledge we need His help every day. Prayer is how we ask for His help and His power in our lives every day. We can't possibly live up to all that God has for us without His power. We need that power to overcome. We need that power to have victory over our weakness and our frailty and our human inability. It is a power, the Bible says, in these earthen vessels that God gets the glory and not us. When we do fail, when we fall, it is in prayer that we confess our sins to God and we are cleansed and forgiven. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, some people think that it's not necessary. I know that God's grace is sufficient, that His grace covers us, but the Bible makes it plain and clear that we're to confess our sins to God. And when we have known sin in our life, it's important that we admit that to God. And in that prayer, listen, it's through prayer that we are washed, that we are cleansed from all unrighteousness, and then we can stand before Him as a child of His, washed in the blood, righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. We've been cleansed and forgiven. Then we can go out in this world with confidence. You see, our guilty conscience needs that we are washed and cleansed. Jesus also taught us that principle in the Lord's Prayer. He said, "Forgive our debts." He taught us to pray this way. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's important that we pray and confess our sins because in that prayer, we are forgiven and cleansed. Prayer is the key to living a victorious Christian life. You can't do it on our own. It's when you ask for His power, and through that power, then you are able to really live the life He has for you. Prayer is how we fight. Y'all are real quiet. That's all right. I just know y'all are just really getting it. I mean, y'all are just soaking this in, right? Listen, church, prayer is how we fight. Let me just back up here. I want to grab your attention if I can. The answer is not for us to have more technological advances and cooler stuff at church. And if we just, listen, all of that's well and good. But church, what we really need, is God's anointing and God's power. What we really need is for the power of God to touch people's hearts. Listen, we need to be culturally relevant. Certainly, we don't need to hold on to sacred cows and the methods and traditions of men. But so many churches have become so focused on being seeker-friendly that they've forgotten the one thing that changes lives is the power of God. And the way you see that come is by prayer. So I tell you, we fight through prayer. Our fight isn't with flesh and blood. It's with the powers of darkness. And if we want to see victory, then we have to pray. You got a loved one you're praying for? Maybe an enemy you're praying for. Listen, you fight for them in prayer. Before he went to the garden, Jesus told Peter, just before he told him, he said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. He was saying, Satan wants to destroy you. He's asked for you that he might be able to destroy us. Luke 22, 31 and 32. Satan asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Jesus didn't pray some powerless, empty prayer. No, when he prayed for Peter, he knew that it would make the difference. He said, Satan wants to destroy you, but I've prayed for you. I'm telling you, church, we can make a difference in the lives of our loved ones, in the lives of our neighbors, if we'll stand in the gap and pray for them. Satan wants to destroy them. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're 8 or 18. Moms and dads, we need to be praying for our kids every day. There is a devil who wants to destroy them. He doesn't play fair. But we can make the difference, because when we pray for them, Jesus said, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. It makes the difference, church. Oh, how we need to fight in prayer. That's how we fight. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because our fight is not with flesh and blood, but it's with the powers of darkness. And then he goes through telling us about the armor of God and how we need to put each piece on. And he concludes with this in verse 18 and 19, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Listen, he says you pray every way you can, all the time. For everybody, pray. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. This great man of God, who had seen the dead raised and people healed and devils cast out, all kinds of signs and wonders. And he says, pray for me. We need powerful, anointed men and women of God who will stand up and proclaim the word of God boldly and see people's lives changed. But listen, it takes prayer. It's not a man. It's not any man. We should never give glory to a man. Yes, we need powerful men and women of God, but it's God's power on them. And how does that happen? It happens by prayer. He said, pray for me, that utterance would be given to me, that I'll be able to boldly proclaim this gospel. The Apostle Paul, I'm telling you, we need to fight in prayer. We need to believe God in prayer. That's where the battle is won or lost. For the church, prayer is how we get the job done. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But if we'll abide in Him, then we'll bear much fruit. The key is prayer. See, we're co-laborers with God. Whatever we do, we are working together with God. It is prayer that brings the power of God into what we're doing. We're co-laborers with Him. We're not trying to do it on our own. We need His help and His blessing, His anointing. You see, without that, it's just fruitless. Apart from me, you can do nothing, He said. No, we have to have the power of God on whatever we do. Sometimes the issue is not just getting God to bless what we're doing, but it is doing what God is blessing. And without prayer, many times we waste our efforts and our energy, our time on fruitless endeavors. Maybe we say, well, they did it like this over there, or so-and-so does it this way. No, what we need to do is what God tells us to do. And many times the reason that we fail is because our attitude is wrong about prayer. That we're not just asking God to bless what we're doing. It always reminds me of the plaque I saw on a wall one time that says, when you pray, do you give instructions or report for duty? Because most of us, when we pray, we just tell God what He needs to do. But our attitude should be, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want to do this? Listen, if you're a co-laborer with God, well, who's in charge? You or God? It better be God. There's the problem. A lot of the time when we're fruitless and we're failing to accomplish what God wants us to, we need to hear from God, and that only happens in prayer. I tell you, church, what the church needs is prayer. Jesus said, the harvest is great. There's nothing wrong with the harvest. And He tells us the need is for more workers. And He tells us the way to get that need met is to pray. He said, the fields are wide unto harvest. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the field. Oh, it's not done by the pastor standing in the pulpit and saying, we need more workers. Who's willing to work? Come on now, everybody pitch in. Everybody help a little bit. No, what we need to do is we need to pray that God will send workers into the field, whether it's the children's ministry or just people reaching out into the community. How does it happen? It happens by prayer. I'm telling you, you can't browbeat people into doing much. But when God speaks to people's hearts, when God deals with people, I tell you, that's powerful. That's life-changing for them and those that they reach. How does it happen? We pray. That's what we need, church. We need to make prayer a part of our daily routine. Not routine just for the sake of routine, but it should be something that happens in our life every day that we never fail to do it. I tell you, there'll be miracles along the way. You make prayer a daily part of your life. What happened when Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray? They saw a lame man who was asking for alms, and they healed that man by the power in the name of Jesus Christ. And what a stir it brought that day. I'm telling you, it stirred things up. Everybody wanted to know, by what power have you done this? It's the power of the name of Jesus. And you know what? Why it happened? Because they were going to the temple to pray. You know what? I know exactly how you feel. I live where you live. But listen to me right now. We say, well, we're going to have a prayer meeting. They'll show up. No, how's that go? They'll stay away. There it is. They'll stay away by the droves. Come on now. Don't make me have a show of hands. How many of y'all going to come to the prayer meeting I'm going to plan this week? But we've got the latest Christian movie. It's awesome. It's 5-star, and we'll be showing it Friday night. Free popcorn. I think I can make it. I'm telling you, what we need is more prayer. It has to start in our personal lives. Now, I want to see us make prayer more a part of our Wednesday night. Oh, man. I'm telling you, we need to change our attitude about prayer. Prayer's the key. Prayer's what brings the power. However you do it, I challenge you to make prayer a part of your life every day. It is the key to seeing things change in your world, in your workplace, in your family, and in yourself. And even when there's no problems in our lives, just the mundane day-to-day, I tell you, there is an awesome opportunity for us to reach out by faith and believe God for great things in our world. Our prayer life should never just be crisis praying. And when you're in a crisis, you need to pray. It's scriptural. And certainly God will rescue you. But we also need to be prayed up all the time and be ready. You know, one time the disciples were called upon to cast a devil out of someone and they couldn't do it. And Jesus said, this kind goes out only by prayer and fasting. He wasn't talking about that if you prayed enough and fasted enough, you could eventually twist God's arm and earn it. He's talking about that your faith has to be built up. You listen, there are some crises that come in our life when it's too late for us to say, oh, now wait a minute. I need to really get a hold of God. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't get a hold of God, but what I'm saying is there are some things you need to be prayed up and ready for. This kind only goes out by prayer and fasting. You might have to deal with a devil that only goes out by prayer and fasting. I tell you, we need to be prayed up and ready, not just crisis prayers. In fact, I want to challenge you to be offensive with your prayer. I'm not talking about standing up in the restaurant and praying so loud that you're rude. That kind of pharisaical attitude turns people off from the gospel and from the Lord Jesus. No, what I'm talking about is going on the offense with your prayer. Not just when you're under attack or your family's under attack, you pray, but you look for ways to use your faith. That you're believing God for that neighbor who you have a hard time with to get saved. That you're praying and believing for a certain person to come to the Lord or to come to church. That you're praying for people to be healed. Go on the offense with your prayer, not just when you're backed in a corner. Prayer makes the difference. Go on the offense with your prayer and praying for our country, for our world. Praying for the church. Praying for revival in our land. But whatever you do, pray. Prayer brings the power of God into your life. I want to close with this verse or this passage from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31. It says, He gives power to the weak. Power. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall fail or shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What's the key to having the power to live a victorious Christian life? It is prayer. It is waiting on God, getting in the presence of God and spending time with Him. That's the key to you having that power to overcome in your life. That power that when others, listen, when he says even the youths shall fail, he's talking about even the strong, even those that you might think could do it on their own. There comes a day when they can't. But those that wait on the Lord, they renew their strength. They're going to rise up like eagles. I'm telling you, church, here's the key. We want that power in our life. You got to wait on the Lord. You got to pray and seek the Lord. Make it a part of your daily routine. Listen, most of us here find time to comb our hair, to brush our teeth, to eat, maybe even watch a little TV. We can find time to pray. And I know some of you say, well, you know, and I pray as I'm driving. I think that's wonderful. I wish everybody would do that. I do want to say that one of two things is not getting your full attention, either your driving or your prayer life. But as good as that is, I want to encourage you and challenge you also that we all need a time where we are totally alone with God and undistracted, no cell phone, nothing, just us and God, that we can pray and talk to Him and give Him the opportunity to speak into our heart. We need that time where we wait on God. That's where our strength is renewed. That's where our power comes from. Not from ourselves, not our abilities, but it's His power in these earthen vessels.